This podcast is one of the many good ones on the Self Defense Radio Network.
Hi, this is Derek from Atlanta. Unlike Bob, I am a former law enforcement officer, but I still enjoy listening to a practical show by a practical guy. You're listening to the Handgun World Podcast.
Hello, fellow shooters. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. Well, this is one of the absentee weeks by me. I'm on vacation. As you're listening to this, I'm on vacation, and I'm on a break from the podcast for a little while. I'm on probably about a six-week break, as I've been talking about for a few months leading up to this, but I have a lot of content for you to listen to while I'm out. I've got this episode. I have a great audio podcast that's been submitted to me by a law enforcement officer, and that's going to be next week's show. And I've got a few other listeners that have contributed content as well. So you're going to have some stuff to listen to this month in December, throughout the holidays, and probably for the first couple weeks in January. This show is sponsored by Concealment Solutions. That's Concealment Solutions, makers of terrific holsters. I've got several. Use them every day. Great stuff. ConcealmentSolutions.com, and Handgun World gives you a 10% discount at checkout. So go over to ConcealmentSolutions.com if you need a real good holster of any type for your handgun. So back in September, I went to Gun Rights Policy Conference. Great conference. And Matt and Heinrich from the Geeks, Gadgets, and Guns podcast asked me and Ben Branham if we would talk with them about red dot pistols. Now, I've done a couple of episodes on red dot pistols, but this one is good in particular because you're going to hear from some other people, Matt and Heinrich, that have been using red dot pistols now for quite some time, and I think you're going to like it. So here we go from the Gun Rights Policy Conference in September.
All right, so we're here at Gun Rights Policy Conference 2017, and so Geeks, Gadgets, and Guns, Handgun World, and Modern Self-Protection, we decided to sit around and talk red dots on a handgun. Now, to give everybody a clarification, 2016, me and Heinrich both ran through Mag 40 running red dotted pistols.
Yep.
I ran a MOS Glock. Heinrich ran, what was that?
Yep. I ran my SIG P320 compact with a Trigicon RMR.
And that was custom cut and installed by Suarez.
Yeah.
Now, of course, Bob Main, what are you running?
Third gen Glock 19, RM07, also installed and cut by Suarez International. And I have taken 1 3-day red dot class with it, and I've done 2 competition matches with it, and 1 very short training class with it.
All right,
and I want the SIG RX because I got to shoot one and I outshot all of the guns I have with it, so now I need one.
Well, I think that's kind of the thing with all the red dots, and that's one of the interesting things I found is most companies who are giving guns out and selling guns that are designed to be out of the box with a red dot are the largest guns there is. I think a red dot is best put on a very small gun.
I agree.
Where you don't have the sight radius.
I agree.
Yes. Yep.
I agree. Matter of fact, I think even the mid-size guns like the G19s, even I think these are a bit large for a red dot. They're really good. Red dots really shine like on a Glock 26 size pistol or an M&P 9 compact size pistol, something like that. You know, they're because that short sight radius, that goes away with a red dot. It's gone.
Right.
Yep. It's, you know, that's one of the great advantages.
Yeah, and there's putting there's some dots out there that actually fit the shield. The Smith & Wesson Shield 9mm and 40, and then I've actually got to shoot one and play with one that was a Glock 43 with a little dot on it.
Yes.
And that was a pretty awesome package on that one.
The Shield red dot on a Glock 43, I'm not talking about the Shield pistol, but the Shield red dot, the Shield RDS on a Glock 43 is a fantastic combination.
And, of course, the other great thing about the Shield is if you have an MOS Glock, you can buy a specialty base plate, and it co-witnesses with the stock sights.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, and I would be all over that, and that's my biggest problem with shooting, especially the Glock, is that it just doesn't sit right because the sight plane's off.
Yep.
And people, I shot a Glock for a lot of years, and I carried one for a lot of years, and when I shoot the open sights, it's right back there. When I shoot the dot, you got to find the sights, then find the dot, and then you're there. And yes, that... To me, that seems as ridiculous as it sounds. So when I shot the SIG RX, maybe it's the more 1911 feel for me, whatever, but it pointed straight.
Yeah.
All I did was press the gun out to the target like I would any other firearm that I shoot, and the dot was there.
I think it all depends on how used to shooting that gun you are, because the dot shows up immediately for me using a Glock.
Yeah,
immediately. As soon as I find my sights, there it is, and that's what I was taught in the Suarez class that I took.
Yeah,
which was a little over 800 rounds. Just find my sights, and the dot's right there, and it is. It's there for me. It's boom. The other thing that's great, if I can talk about the advantages of a red dot. One thing I learned, I didn't believe this. I was told this was going to be the truth, and I didn't believe them. But by the end of the course, I believed them. It does not matter where in that glass the red dot is.
Exactly.
The bullet's going where the red dot is. So if the red dot is up and to the right a little bit, doesn't matter. Wherever the red dot is on the target, that's where the bullet's going.
Exactly.
And that's what I thought was really cool. I didn't believe that, but they proved me wrong.
Well, you can test that with a dot as it is. If you have a dot on a gun, press it out towards the target, get your head exactly, hold it on the target, and move your head around. When you move your head around, you'll see the dot move around in the window, but if you look at where the dot is actually pointing, it's still in the same spot.
Yeah.
Right.
So you can see the dot move way off to the side of the window, but it's still pointing at that same thing that you were pointed in at.
Relative to downrange, the dot stays exactly in the same spot.
Exactly.
And of course, the really super interesting thing about it is, if you're looking through one that is co-witnessed, you line up your iron sights and then just slightly move it, and you will see the dot move, and you barely can notice a difference in the irons.
Correct.
This is short-circuiting your learning for how to shoot irons properly and be 100% accurate.
Well, you know, you're right, man. I'm going to get some disagreement on this, but I don't care because I've proven it to be true in most cases. Not 100% true. This is not scientific, but it's... You noticed I used that nice word there. Tom Gresham is going to love me because I used the word scientific. New shooters, brand new shooters. I've put this gun in a couple of brand new shooters' hands. They pick it up. They pick up red dot shooting like that in a snap because they don't have to worry about, all right, line up the front sight, put it in the notch, make sure this... That's too much to think about already. You know what I told them? Put the red dot where you want the bullet to go and nicely press the trigger.
Yep.
And that, like you said, it short circuits. I think... Again, I know there's people out there that are going to say, no, Bob, you're full of baloney. Test it out. Give a new shooter a red dot pistol and watch how easy they adapt to it.
It's the same exact thing we've seen in our experience. We've given it to a lot of new shooters, and they'll have trouble hitting the target with iron sights. We give them the same exact gun, but equipped with a red dot.
Yeah.
Now they're hitting 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah. Well, it's just a different style of training because you're training for to use the red dot, so... If you've already learned and spent a lot of years with iron sights, you all of a sudden are going back to being a beginner, so it feels like it doesn't work as well.
Well, that's a good point, because I'm one of those that spent a lot of years on iron sights, and I had to do a little retraining. But, you know, Matt and I were talking about this yesterday offline, video games.
Yes.
I did not...
I'm 56. I did not grow up playing video games, but a lot of people, generation before me, did grow up with video games. And what do you do on a video game? You put the red dot, right?
Yep.
Well, even at like when you're just running around in a game, your aim point is always a dot in the center of the screen.
Right.
And when you want to shoot the target, you put the dot on the target and you click.
Yeah.
And that is a skill that we all learn in video games. You pull the trigger on your controller, but it's all about lining up the dot first and then going.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so the same difference, and I can give from the advanced shooter perspective, because I had the same problem Bob did here. Going from irons to a dot, I was a beginner and it sucked. But I can tell you, that all you guys that are advanced out there and say you don't need the dot, well, you don't, but you can get better with the dot. One of the things I really noticed when I first started training with the dot was that when I press off a bad shot, I can call it. I can say, oh, that one's low and left, or that one's high and right, or I just jerk the trigger and it's just to the right. I can call it, but I can't stop it.
Mm-hmm.
With the dot, yeah. I can see the dot move so much faster, and my brain perceives it move faster as I'm pressing the trigger, and then I'm pressing the trigger wrong, and I can actually stop my trigger pull and go, hey, dum-dum, stop yanking the trigger to the right, go back out a little bit, come back into it, and I can make that shot and save that shot instead of just wasting it downrange, especially if you're doing really, really little tiny groups or accuracy far, far away. And that was what that was the one thing on the dot that I picked up right away, and I was like, wow, this is, I don't know if it's a game changer yet, because when I first started using them years and years ago, I think the Suarez cut slide that Bob's got with the dot on it was like $1,800 when they first started using them. They were
super expensive,
and I was like, at that point, I was like, yeah, that price ain't worth it. But now that they're coming out, I mean, the Romeo RX you can get for less than $1,000.
Yeah. I only have about $860 invested in this one. Total. Slide, labor, and Trigicon RMR.
Well, plus the gun itself.
Yeah.
So you still got about $1,200.
Well, you always have the gun itself.
Well, no, if you buy the SIG Romeo RX, it comes with the dot milled into it already.
Yeah.
And that one is, I think it's retailing right at $1,020, but I've seen them for $900.
But with the Glock MOS series, you can get in for about $1,000 or less.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the dot and everything.
Yeah.
And with
the other thing MOS about red dots that I want to add in there, because this is something that is important to me and might be to a lot of listeners, I've got middle age to old eyes. Okay? So with my glasses on, all right, the iron sights are blurry. If I'm looking at the irons right now, they're blurry. But guess what I see that's crystal clear? I see a clear red dot. And when you start to get older eyes, astigmatism, cataract starting, things like that, if you're 24 years old, it doesn't matter to you. But if you're 56, 60, 65, it makes a big difference. So I now have clear sights again. I don't have blurry sights.
Yeah.
I have a nice clear dot. And that's huge. It's big. I can't say that it actually has improved my shooting, but it's made it less stressful because I'm not trying to line up blurry sights anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just putting a nice crystal clear dot on the target and concentrating on trigger press.
Well, I can say after swapping back to a non-red sighted pistol, so I ran a full year running competition, classes, all with a red dot pistol. I went back to an iron sighted pistol this year.
And what happened?
Overall, in matches, I'm about, I would say, top third. Now I'm about halfway down. So I'm about middle of the pack now. Because I'm not quite as accurate as I was with the red dot.
Okay.
And it also helps with the red dot that it works with our biology, because when we have a target focus in a self-defense incident, we're going to focus on the target.
Right.
And now you're trying to put the dot on the same plane as the target.
Right.
You're not trying to focus closer to you for your front sight. You're actually focusing on the target still.
Yeah.
That's true.
And that kind of comes into one of the problems of why I swapped, because the red dot I had was one of the RMR dual illuminations. Because I'm like, hey, the battery will never die. The problem is, it has too much of a tint on the front in order for it to appear that you have trouble in certain lighting conditions seeing through it.
I recommend the LED version.
Yes, yes. No matter what, go LED.
Yep.
And the new, and those are the LED. The first one I got to play with had the LED on it, and they're auto, like auto-correcting for brightness.
Mm-hmm.
And I shot them in real low light and dingy little ranges, had no problem finding it, went out in the bright sun, no problem seeing it. And Trigicon just, they hit it on the nose when they figured that that little piece of technology out. Not that it's not on all our iPhones now that will dim and adjust to the light. But
now the RM07 model, I have to manually either put it into auto adjust or manual mode. I have
which is actually even better.
What model is yours?
Mine's an RM02. It doesn't do any auto adjust or manual adjust or anything. It's just constant brightness, but they tuned it just right that it works in the dark and
Is this a 3 MOA or a 6? It looks like that's a 6.
Yeah.
It looks the same as mine.
That's a 6. That does bring up a common thing I see with a lot of people who are experimenting with red dots. They all think rifle. So they try and get as small of a dot as they can manage. And then they complain about trying to find a dot. They can't find it. It's too tall. They're like, I'm always hunting for the dot.
It's the opposite.
Go for a 6, an 8, a 9. The one I was running was a 9 MOA dot.
Mm-hmm.
And I had great success with it because guess what? Even at 9 MOA, at 100 yards, you're covering 9 inches. Are you going to be able to now shoot 9 inches with a handgun?
Probably not.
Well, and then at 100 yards, you think of how big a person's head really is.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, we think 6 inches is about a headshot. So if you have a nine-inch dot, you can manage that. So when you start looking at it that way, but that's at 100 yards.
Yeah.
Up closer, that dot looks, the closer the target gets, the smaller that dot looks in relation to the target. So you can kind of think about that. Well, what's the farthest shot I'm going to take or I could take with my handgun at a headshot?
Yeah.
And for me, that's about 25, 35 yards, depending on what gun and system I'm running and how good I'm doing that day. But so the 9 MOA dot would be no problem for me making a normal shot and even pushing it to 50 meters. I talk meters, sorry, military stuff. It's close enough to a meter and a yard. It's not going to matter in this thought. But so 50 yards, a 9 MOA dot on a gun, I'd like to get the handgun with the bigger dot to get the 9 MOA so I can find it faster and I don't have that problem. And still trying to make a headshot at 50 meters, that dot is really only 4.5 inches. Mm-hmm. So that's no big deal because your head is about 7. It'll cover, you know, if you can see through the magic, it'll be about this big. But, it'll cover about half your head.
I find that the 6.5 MOA works good for me.
Yeah.
You know, that seems to be like a good halfway point between, you know, the really... Yeah, but you're right, Matt. People always want that really tiny dot. We're not shooting rifles.
Yeah.
Well, and part of the problem is that the thing everyone always complains about is the dot is hard to find when they're first starting to shoot red dots on a pistol.
They don't know how to use it.
They don't know how to use it, and the bigger dot is easier to find.
Right.
It's big and bright.
Whenever somebody, and this is something else I didn't believe, but after taking the class, you got to take a class if you're going to shoot a red dot pistol.
Yeah.
You just have to.
Yeah.
This is something I didn't believe, but by the end of the third day, I did. Okay? If you say, I can't find the dot, your technique is wrong.
Yes.
It just is. You find your sights like you would normally, like you've been doing all this time. Find your sights, the dot will appear. You have to trust that. And it takes probably a good 400 or 500 rounds, it did for me, to really trust that. Okay, I'm going to get this through my thick head, Bob. Just look for the sights, and there the dot will be.
And you also have to have good recoil management, because if you're losing it after each
good
shot,
point.
That means you don't have recoil management.
Good point.
Yeah.
And we always think about recoil management. I'll give you advanced tips right here. Recoil management is being able to hold the gun and not let it move. Forget that about recoil management. Recoil management is to, you fire the gun recoils. It's going to move. I don't care how big you are. You put it in a ransom rest, you put it in a rest, the freaking gun still moves. It's about managing that recoil so after the gun settles or the gun goes back into battery, it should slap right back onto your target. If you're managing recoil correctly, when you fire the gun, it could go anywhere. And when it smacks, when that slide goes home on that live round, that next one, it should be right back on target where you just had the gun pushed.
Yep. Well, and if you're doing it right, you can actually watch that dot do a little oval in the window, up and then right back down where you were.
Now, okay, so let me throw in some disadvantages of red dots if I can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because it's not all a bed of roses.
Sure.
Maintenance. You know, you got to maintain it. You got to clean the glass.
Yep. Yes.
And by the way, there's a $24 kit that is awesome. It's a red dot maintenance kit, and it comes with glass cleaner. It comes with the nice cloths that you use for cleaning eyeglasses and camera lenses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It comes with a spare battery, and it comes with a couple of little tools. Suarez sells it for I think around $25 or $30. I bought one. It's a lifesaver. You got to be sure. If you go to a class or if you do a lot of shooting, if it's raining out, you may have to clean your glass in your RMR, both sides of it, a couple of different times.
And there's one other place you have to clean.
Yeah.
Right back here at the projector.
Yeah, right, the LED diode area.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and batteries. You got to be responsible with your batteries. Pick one day a year. Pick one day a year. The battery will last at least a year.
Yeah.
Pick one day. I never turn mine off. This goes in the safe and never goes off. One day a year, whatever day you can remember, and change your battery.
Yep. Hold on. And then let me say, talk a little geeky, because we're on Gadget Geeks and Guns. The gadget is awesome that Bob talked about for cleaning. You need to have something that's designed to clean an optic to do this. Optic glass is different than your eyeglass glass. And really what it is, the glass is pretty much the same. But it's the coating on the glass. And the coating on the glass of your optic is what gives it clarity and what gives it light projection. And how they do that is they put this weird, for a better lack of better thinking, they put a coating on there and they just keep putting this coating on there that's see-through until it looks like a piece of sandpaper. Your optic glass is actually not smooth. It's very, very dimpled and stuff on a microscopic level. But that's all the coating on there. And that coating helps reflect all the light through the glass so that you can see what's going on. If you use just your shirt or your spit or WD-40 or 409 on your glass, you're going to take off that coating and you're going to lose light transmission. And eventually your glass will break down because you lose if you take all the coating off your glass and then start breaking down, the glass will start breaking down. And you're not going to be able to see stuff and it's gonna suck. In a pinch, yes, if you're out in the woods or something and you're trying to hunt or the bad guy's trying to get you and you can't see through and you use your shirt to rub it, no big deal. It's not going to hurt it if you do it a couple times. It's not like it's the first time. But if you do it all the time, that coating is going to go away and you're going to have major issues with your glass.
Well, you know,
and that's why you always carry a microfiber cloth.
Microfiber cloth. And to pick up on what Ben just said.
Matt is totally a geek.
To pick up on what, well, here, I'm going to geek out a little bit too. There's a product, like Ben was talking about, there's a product called a lens pen.
Yep.
And for $10, I picked up a lens pen, and that's made for high-end camera lenses, and it'll be perfect for this.
I have a couple of them in my range bag.
They're great.
Because I want to always have one with me when I get this out.
See, you gotta maintain these things. It's just like a BMW or a Mercedes. You gotta maintain them. You know, you gotta,
like a 1911.
Yes. Yes, like one of those 160-year-old antiquated things. You have to take care of them.
And of course, you need to choose your red dot accordingly. The downside of the Trigicons is you have to take it off to change the battery. You can't leave it in place and change the battery.
That's true.
The shield, you can change the battery from the side.
That's a good thing.
Loophole, you can change it from the top.
That's a good thing. The SIG has the drawer that comes outside.
The SIG has the side.
Yeah. These you do have to take off. And then when you take these off, it means you got to re-zero it after you do that. So that is a disadvantage.
And there's really no way to tell which optic you're going to like the best. Trigicon, I love their optics. They're an awesome company. I used them in the military and stuff. I used a bunch of their dots on pistols. Take it or leave it for me. And then I shot one of the new Romeos on one of the SIGs. And I was like, this thing is freaking awesome. Except for it has a downside. It's got big old buttons on the right side of the optic. So when I put the gun down on this bench weird, I put it down on the button and then I picked up the gun and loaded it and let it go. And I'm like, uh-oh, the dot's gone. And I'm thinking, I borrowed this gun from somebody. I just broke their dot. And I'm like, what the hell? How? And I look at the side of the optic, and I see those giant buttons. So I just push the up button, hold it on, and magically the dot gets brighter and it appears. And so everything has its downside.
Yeah.
And make sure you get one that stays on and you don't have an on-off switch for it.
Yeah.
Something that in your holster, oh, no, I don't have it. Or one of them that time out after 12 hours.
Yeah, the time delay ones. Yeah.
And that's one of the issues with some of the red dots out there is once you put it in your holster, the buttons rub against the inside of your holster and shut your dot off.
Yeah.
That's an advantage of the Trigicon RMRs. They don't do that.
So you've got to, you've got to train and practice and actually carry the gear that you're going to carry and work with it.
What a concept.
I'm sure one of us has mentioned that somewhere.
What a concept. Training and practicing. Where have I heard that before?
Practice with the gear that you want to save your life so you figure out these quirks. And I mean, easy on the Romeo, if I had that quirk happen in a holster, I'll just take a pocket knife to my Kydex holster and ground out that area so it doesn't touch that button, right? It's super easy.
Blow dryer and kind of bend the Kydex away.
I'm so much better with a knife. But there's a lot of things you could do to fix that. figuring it out when someone's trying to take your life is not a good time to figure that out. No. So, and it's fun to figure out all this stuff. I don't know. Yeah. Well, I'm going to say I don't know about you guys, but Bob's not the biggest geek in the world, but he loves this stuff, and he loves electronics, and I know you guys are way farther than me. I love the geeky stuff, and I love playing with it and learning all the new stuff. So, yeah, get out there and try one.
Yeah.
And I would say you don't have to take a class, but you have to be extremely self-analytical if you're going to do
it. Yeah. Because I would say take a class.
If you can't get a class, there are things you can do. Listen to Bob.
Yeah.
Listen to people who know what they're talking about. Take that as suggestions and test it yourself.
Yeah. Go find a podcast where someone has taken that class. Listen to as many of those as you can find.
And ask questions.
Ask questions of them, and you can put together enough that you can probably train yourself. Because that's what we
need
to
do a video on this for the Shooters Club.
But I mean, really, that's how Suarez International is the only one I know teaching a class based on the red dot. How do you think Suarez International learned how to
run the hard way?
A lot of shooting.
A lot of shooting, a lot of training, and they did it the hard way. So you can always learn it the hard way, mm-hmm. but learn as much as you can from other people so you can learn it the easy way, and then. Really, you might be the next person that advances where we are right now, makes the next step.
Yeah, it took a lot of ammunition to really figure out how to do that because we didn't have anyone teaching classes around us, so we just had to.
Okay, can I give out one technique from the class that'll help people?
You guys get to shoot a lot.
Can I give out one technique that'll help people?
Yes.
Okay. When you start shooting your red dot for the very first time, okay, and you're going to practice, train, whatever, turn the red dot off. For the first 150 rounds. Turn it off. Get used to looking at those co-witness sights through the glass. Do lots of repetitions. 150 rounds with no dot. Okay? Just train yourself to look for the sights because your sights look a little bit different through this glass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
They're a little bit higher.
After you have done that for about 150 rounds, then turn your red dot on. And guess what? You'll put the two together real quickly.
Yeah.
That's a little shortcut way to do it. A lot of people, they get a red dot, they put it on their pistol, they go out to the range, and they start shooting. Oh, where's my dot? Where's my dot? Where's my dot? Because they didn't practice with the iron sights through the glass at first.
Because I didn't have a class to take, I kind of had to stumble into the pick up your iron sights like you always have, and then the dot will be there.
But you can train yourself by turning the dot off to do that.
I had to go learn it the hard way. I didn't have the advantage of Suarez or you sharing stuff yet because you hadn't taken the class yet. And
Suarez wasn't offering the class yet because that's a really new class for them.
So it's just kind of, early adopter, it's going to take some time to learn and
just
go out and learn it.
You know, early adopters are good too. You can learn a lot from early adopters.
Someone has to go figure it out so they can teach others.
Exactly.
Honestly, the main thing I did for a change is I had a Glock 17 I had been shooting a decent amount of, but I had one of the palm swells on it. I removed that, and that moved the gun a little lower in my hand because I had one with the beaver tail. So as soon as I had the iron sights, the suppressed height, and the red dot together, once I removed that palm swell, I'm now dialed in immediately.
Dropped it just that.
Right.
Eighth of an inch down into your hand.
So you can use your same training that way. And then if you keep the other gun set up the other way, you can go back to that and you'll still be just
right. I didn't think of that,
but
that's a good idea. Yeah.
Bob shoots all his Glocks slick, as you can tell. No palm swells.
I don't put any of those beaver tail or palm swells or anything on them.
If you have fat hands like me and Matt, the beaver tail is awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Because I still got scars from shooting Glocks.
Yeah. Although, I tell you what, if you don't want to use a beaver tail on here, this is a little bit off subject. Get someone who knows what they're doing to get rid of the finger grooves and undercut the trigger guard, or buy a Gen 5. Buy a Gen 5 and undercut the trigger guard a little bit, and it'll help reduce some of that slide bite because it repositions your hand by about an eighth of an inch, and sometimes that eighth of an inch down a little bit makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Sometimes that makes a huge difference.
That could.
It does. It matters a lot.
Yeah.
You might not think it does, but it does.
Yeah, I see your SIG over here, and I'm
drooling.
Or run a SIG 320, just don't drop it, but a SIG P320, and had to throw that in there.
Don't drop it.
But anyway, having that little bit of a grip modification does make a difference.
Yeah, it does.
And then I don't need any, this was a third gen anyway, but I don't need those grip panels.
Yeah, and honestly, a lot of the stuff we're talking about and dealing with are fragments of, these are the first generation dots. I mean, technically, we're kind of like second generation. But
I think it's second.
I think that what the true second generation is the Shield. That's the first of the second generation where it co-witnesses with the regulars.
With the regular sites, yes.
That's the way to be. Yes.
These are suppressor height sites.
When they figure that out is really where we're going to win. And the Shield, though, is still a smaller optic overall with a smaller window. The Romeo has a huge window on it, even compared to the Trigicon. It's bigger than the Slide. So if you're hiding a gun, it actually sticks out farther than the Slide. Makes the gun fatter, but it makes it easier to find that dot.
Yeah.
So everything's give and take right now. I really think, and Bob and I talked about this a little bit, this is the beginning of optics on guns. Sooner or later, we're going to have an optic on a gun that's going to replace your rear sight. You'll never see it. You'll magically pop the gun out there, and that dot will be on this giant screen that's above your gun that you won't have to find because it'll be there, and it'll be a foot wide, and you're the only one that can see it. We'll have this magic technology that'll start.
Matt, you brought up something important I want to key in on. If you have a red dot pistol with suppressor height sights, you got to make sure you use a holster that has a tall enough sight channel so that your sights can clear that holster. When you get a red dot with the standard sights, then you're okay. A red dot with the standard sights, then you're fine. You don't have that issue because they're standard height. So that is an advantage of it.
And we're still on first generation holsters, too. So if you get a gun with an optic on it, I call it a window. I'm trying to coin that term. So feel free to use it. I think it's cool. Half of the holsters out there, they'll say, yeah, it'll fit. But really, you're going to have to take a Dremel tool, a heat gun, or a pocket knife and make it fit.
I got a completely custom-built one.
Yeah.
And apparently, they thought that when I said suppressor height sights, their cut was fine. Until I actually tried it, and then it's like, okay, we're going to bend that, we're going to heat it up and bend it out a little more, and we've made it work.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, too, is that you got to be real careful when you're shooting when you're putting this in your holster and when you're drawing it out. A lot of people, the biggest question I always get from people is they ask me, well, first of all, does this make it harder to conceal? It could and it could not. It depends on your holster. It depends on your belt setup. For me, it doesn't. For me, it doesn't at all. But I mentioned this earlier. You got to make sure that your holster does not hit these dots on the side of the Trigicon RMR.
What I specifically did is I got
buttons.
A holster.
Dots, buttons, I meant to say.
With a flared hood that went around that.
What's that now?
The holster I got, I had a custom
hood. Has a flared hood?
Yeah, that went right around that.
See, that's
so I could even get it deeper in the belt.
Yeah. Now, one thing, shameless plug, but I got to put it in there because it's true. The Cobra outside the waistband holster, see that? It totally clears.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I don't need to have that hood. It totally clears the RMR and everything else, both sides.
But I'm
it clears it.
Oh, nice.
And I'm actually interested because
there's no modifications to that. So Jason already thought of it. Basically, I called him up because I called him up and said, "Hey Jason, I got my red dot now, my Glock, and did you know that it fits in your Cobra without any modification?" He goes, "Bob, I'm ahead of you, man." You know, it's like, yes, I know that because of the way it's cut.
But then again, we're all right now ahead. We are pushing. I still meet trainers today who think of a red dot on a handgun as some barbaric thing that should not be done. Because
didn't they say the same thing about AR-15s years ago?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dots on your rifle. Yep.
What do you need that for?
Everybody's running dots and optics on your rifle.
How many times did you hear that and read that? What do you need? Learn to shoot your irons. What do you need a red dot on a rifle for?
Why would you put optics on?
When it got to the point when you could see somebody go out there with their gun with the optic on it and start literally pounding nails with the optic into a board, you're like, huh? I think they made them strong enough now. And then he turns it on, the optic's still zeroed and still worked. And that's really where us in the contractor world, in the fighting world out there, when guys were starting to get blown up and their rifle is U-shaped, but I can take the optic off the rifle and put it on another rifle and the optic still works. The optic is stronger than your iron sights are and it's stronger than the gun itself. Anything that's going to break the optic is going to break the gun. So you're just...
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. So we're to that point in the progression of technology where it's, you know, you buy a good optic and it's good. I wouldn't want to use my Trijicon to bang nails, but I'm sure glad other people have tried it so that I can see it. But I wouldn't want to get blown up, so my rifle's U-shaped to make sure that optic stays. But now that they're happening, it's anything that's going to break the optic is going to break the gun, so don't worry about it.
Okay, yeah. So let's kind of wrap this up. So we're going to go through, Bob, defensive handgun, red dot, yes or no, for you?
Maybe.
Maybe.
It depends. Right? The great answer, oh, it depends.
I hear a political answer coming.
No, it's not political.
So
the reason
until
I say
you
it
get
depends,
one on your pocket gun, you're going to say it depends?
Yeah. The reason I say maybe, it depends. If you're willing to train and put in the time, yes. If you're trying to buy skill and buy a gadget to put on your gun and make you a better shooter, no, don't get it.
Well, if you have your trigger pull, it's all about the trigger pull. That's really what it comes down to.
Well, and also learning the techniques of shooting the red dot.
Yeah.
You got to learn that. If you're not willing to do that, if you're not willing to retrain, thank you, because, yeah, then yes. That's my depends answer.
And I'll go back to my old answer on all this stuff. For any piece of gear that you buy new that you're going to stick somewhere requires more training.
Yep.
If you put a laser on your gun, you need to train with that. You put a dot on your gun, you need to train with that. You put a magwell on your gun, you need to train with that. You switch holsters, you need to train with that. You switch sights, you need to train with that. You put a new trigger in there because you need a ghost trigger because your Glock trigger sucks. You got to train with that. Mm-hmm. So if you're not willing to train, Bob made a great point. Skip it and just keep what you got. For me, can I answer the question?
Yep.
Yes, my next gun, I want a dot on it after shooting. And what really got me is I borrowed one of the SIG RXs, and for the first time, I could outshoot my actual carry gun. I shot a dot torture test at 7 yards, which I can't clean. I can clean it at 5, so I put it out there on purpose at 7. And I scored better with the RX out of the box, never touched it before that day. I scored better than that than my actual carry gun that I do every day. So I'm like, huh. Now we got something to this because I can see that I'm shooting better with the dot than without the dot. So the next one I get, I want a dot.
Is the SIG 320 with the Romeo RX dot, does that have the recall issues that the regular 320 has?
It's got the same trigger pack, so you'll...
It does?
You'll have to send it in.
It's got to be sent in to be switched out.
So thanks for the answer. I didn't
don't drop
that.
It first. Send it out.
Yeah. Just buy it and immediately send it.
Yeah. And of course, for me, I'm in the process of building out a gun for it. I've got a VP9SK, got to buy an optic, and then I'll send it out to be milled, put the two of them together, and now I have a Glock 26 gun that fits my hand perfectly, that I can shoot pretty darn good already, but that will take me the whole next level with that
gun. What kind
gun.
Of red dot are you going to put on it?
Right now, I'm thinking a Shield RMS.
Cool.
So it'd Shield be a little RMS. Smaller, and I'd love to have it co-witness. With the base sights on there.
That's going to be fun. You have to get somebody that knows that HK to cut into that thing so you don't...
Yeah.
I've already found a couple of places that will do it, and they say with the shield, it does co-witness.
Oh, perfect.
Would you send me the names of those places in case people ask me?
I'll have to find them, but yeah, I'll get them to you.
In case people ask me.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. This is going to go on my show, too.
Last Matt.
Okay. And Heinrich.
Okay. Well, this SIG right here is my carry gun.
Cool.
That's what I carry. I've gone through... a bunch of training classes with it. I gone through a bunch of training classes with it. I practice with it. If I can hide a gun bigger than an LCP, that's what I'm carrying.
Cool.
There you go. Awesome. That's awesome.
It's kind of interesting, but it seems to be that if you're willing to train and you're willing to practice, there are many upsides to a red dot over the some added maintenance.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The maintenance is not that bad. That's overplayed a lot.
It really
That's
is.
Overplayed, the amount of maintenance. It's and not that bad.
Unless you're super lazy like me that cleans my gun once every 3 months and every 1,000 rounds, give or take, that is something I'm going to have to adjust to keep that window clean.
Well, even at that, when it gets dirty, I mean, I've gone for a week without cleaning it, and guess what? You get a little extra couple of speckles on the screen, but you can still tell where the dot's at.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can still see the dot.
It's still usable, even in
it is still
a non-maintained
state.
And
you always have your backup iron sights if you can't find your dot.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
if you listen to their show, this aired on their show as well. That's the Geeks, Gadgets, and Guns podcast. That they're another podcast on the Self Defense Radio Network. Guys, thanks for having me on, and I know Ben thanks you probably as well. So you make your own decision about red dots, but I can tell you from experience, and as you heard these two guys talk from experience, there are some very, very good advantages to having a red dot sight, and the price is coming down on them. Check it out. I think if it's in your budget to do, try it out. I'll tell you what I did. I purchased a third generation Glock 19 upper, complete upper assembly, because I figured, hey, I don't know if I'm going to like this red dot or not. So I went out and I purchased a separate upper. I think it was like about $270. Everything, slide, barrel, recoil spring, all the internals in the slide, it came complete. That's what I sent in to Suarez International to have the red dot mounted on. So you might want to think about that. Buy a separate upper for your Glock or M&P or XD or SIG, whatever gun it is you want to put the red dot on. And again, that's, hey, one of the great advantages of Glock pistols is you can find all kinds of parts that you can buy separately, including complete uppers. Or you could just buy the slide and put the internals in yourself, but send the slide off to get milled. And that's what's great. It's so easy to buy spare parts for Glocks. So anyway, but that's what I did. You might want to think about doing the same. And I think it would probably be a good idea. That way, if you don't like it, you have basically, you're only out the purchase of a slide. Think of it that way. Don't forget about the Shooters Club that Ben Branham and I have. It's great videos, excellent videos, over like 75 different instructional videos. You can support the podcast, mine and the podcast that Ben Branham does at Modern Self Protection Podcast, for only $8 a month and $75 a year. Either $8 a month or $75 a year. Just go to handgunworld.com, click the Shooters Club page, or just go directly to shootersclubmembers.com. That's shootersclubmembers.com and get signed up if you're not already signed up. Hope you're doing your Christmas shopping using my Amazon store, folks. And you can check that out. Go to handgunworld.com and make your purchases, your Amazon purchases, through my store, my affiliate program. I'll be able to earn a little extra money if you do that too. And last but not least, if you use iTunes, can you please leave me an iTunes review? A lot of people have, but if you've never left me an iTunes review on how you like this show, that would be great if you would do that. With that said, I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Remember, the loudest sound a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. Shoot straight, shoot safe. Next episode will be up in about a week. Talk to you later.